Om Shri Srimad Bhagavatam, Kanda 1, Chapter 5, text number 6. This chapter is entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sa.
Vai. Vai.
Bhavan.
Veda.
Samasta.
Samasta.
Guhyam. Upasito,
Upasito,
Yat,
Yat,
Purusha,
Purusha,
Purana,
Purana,
Paravareso,
Paravareso,
Manasaiva,
Manasaiva,
Vishvam,
Vishvam,
Srijati,
Srijati,
Avati,
Avati,
Ati,
Ati,
Rune,
Rune,
Asanga,
Asanga.
Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam.
Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam.
Upasito Yat Purusha Paran Purana.
Upasito Yat Purusha Purana.
Parabaresho Manasaiva Vishvam.
Parabaresho Manasaiva Vishvam.
Srijatya Vyatya Tidigo. Srijatya Vyatya. Thus, by, certainly, Bhavan, yourself, Veda,
no,
Samasta,
all
inclusive,
Guhyam,
confidential,
Upasitana,
devotee of,
Yat,
because,
Purusha,
the personality of Godhead,
Purana,
the oldest.
Paravarishya,
the controller of the material and spiritual worlds,
Manasa,
mind,
Eva,
only,
Vishvam,
the universe,
Sujati,
creates,
Abati
Ati,
Annihilates,
Lunai,
by
the qualitative matter.
Asanga.
Unattached.
Sensation.
My Lord, everything that is mysterious is known to you because you worship the creator and destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Please repeat. My Lord. Everything that is mysterious,
is known to you,
because you worship, the creator and destroyer,
of the material world,
and the maintainer,
of the spiritual world,
the original personality of Godhead,
who is transcendental,
to the three modes of material nature. A person who is 100% engaged in the service of the Lord is the emblem of all knowledge. Such a devotee of the Lord in full perfection of devotional service is also perfect by the qualification of the personality of Godhead. As such, the eightfold perfections of mystic power, Ashta Siddhi, constitute very little of his godly opulence. A devotee like Narada can act wonderfully by his spiritual perfection, which every individual is trying to attain. Srila Narada, a 100% perfect living being, Srila Narada is a 100% perfect living being, although not equal to the personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Tandasya Ajnana Sarakaya Chakshur Nidham Vena Dasmai Sri Kurve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Parishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sannavadi Pasyate Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Bhaktavinoda
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Translation again, my Lord, everything that is mysterious is known to you because you worship the creator and destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. In this section, Narada is instructing Vyasadeva at the end of the last chapter to find that Vyasadeva is lamenting, he's morose, that although he's compiled all of the so many Vedic literatures, Mahabharata, etc., he's still not feeling satisfied. He's explained perfectly well about what is the material world, he's explained perfectly well, he knows everything about what is Brahman, but still it's something lacking. Now Narada Muni has entered the scene. And Narada is, they have seated Narada, and Vyasadeva is now starting to question. Last Sunday, Vyasadeva said, all you have said about me is perfectly correct. Despite all this, I am not pacified. Therefore, I question you about the root cause of my dissatisfaction. For you are a man of unlimited knowledge, due to your being the offspring of one who is self-born. He's asking, what is the root cause of my dissatisfaction? And the Narada will explain the mystery. So actually, we can't compare with Vasudeva, with his knowledge, but we have something in common. We're also dissatisfied, of course. He's not dissatisfied any longer because he had Narada Muni to enlighten him. But everyone is dissatisfied in the material world. The reason you're sitting here this morning is because you're dissatisfied. You've come to get some satisfaction. You come here because you're not satisfied. Otherwise, why are you here? You're seeking some higher state of life, some more higher happiness. So everyone is like that. Everyone is looking for happiness in the material world. Everything everyone does is for some pleasure, some happiness. The motivation for you doing something is that rasa, we call rasa, the pleasure, the exchange, that nice feeling that you get back from it. That's the motivation you do anything, spontaneously, unless you're forced to do it. But, so everyone is acting according to their particular nature. So what is going on, actually the living entity is feeling dissatisfied, why? Because, what is the nature of the living, we discussed yesterday, what is the nature of the living entity? Satchit Ananda. That is our actual nature. But this place is not sun, it's not chit, and there's no ananda. There's a little reflection of ananda, some flickering happiness there. But we want eternal happiness, because that's natural. So we're in an unnatural position. That's why everyone's looking for happiness, trying to get rid of the problems and trying to make programs that we can be happy. Because of that lacking, that sense of incompleteness, and that's coming from the soul bubble, that's coming from our consciousness, subconsciousness, so the Atma is actually dissatisfied, we're actually dissatisfied. And the dissatisfaction is that we don't know who we are and what we're supposed to be doing. We're misidentifying ourselves with this body, and so we're looking for happiness for the body. Body means the senses. So we're looking for happiness through the senses, either gross or subtle. Through gross sense pleasure or through emotional exchanges, we want this feeling of happiness. So that is a root cause. So the root cause we're not getting it is because we've come to the material world and we're identifying with the material world. And the root cause of coming to the material world is that forgetfulness of Krishna, forgetfulness of our actual position, or neglecting to act in our constitutional position, Sanatana Dharma. as a servant of the Lord. Jiva Sharupoy, Krishna Nityadas. But the soul is an eternal part and parcel of the Lord. He said, the Lord is one, he becomes many for his pleasure. So the Lord has expanded himself into you and me for varieties of pleasure. The Lord's business is enjoying. That's his only business. If you were God, what would you do? You just enjoy, right? So the Lord, he's enjoying. But sometimes the living entities who he creates, they're exactly the same quality as God. We're exactly the same quality. We're also Satchidananda. But we're always the sheltered. And he's always the controller and the... we never become different from that. He's always our shelter. And we're all coming from him. He's maintaining all of us. That is true. But nevertheless, we're the same quality, but different quantity. So we don't have the ability of God. So we're tiny, tiny gods. Like the spark from the fire, or the molecule of sun, sunshine from the sun planet. You cannot compare. But nevertheless, it's the same in quality. Heat and light are there, but very minute. But yet the actual nature, the spiritual nature, is Satchidananda. So we are Satchidananda, the Lord is Satchidananda, the whole spiritual world is Satchidananda. And the because the Lord, we are creations of the Lord, not different from the Lord in quality, we also have that quality of independence. The Lord is supremely independent. So we have that quality also of independence. So if we misuse that independence by not functioning how we should be functioning, as a natural function, of what we're created for, as serving the Lord, that's why he's created us, we can misuse that independence. We have choice. So if we misuse that independence, then the material world is manifested for that purpose. So we can be reformed, get back to the right consciousness, right frame of mind, and then qualify ourselves to go back again. Otherwise there's no need for material creation for the Lord. Simply to rectify us, to change us around, to give us a chance to try to be independent, move independently of the Lord. So that's what's happening in the material world. So as soon as you misidentify yourself, as soon as you identify yourself as part of this material world, then you're going to start searching for happiness. First thing you have to do is eat. If you can breathe, the next thing you have to do is eat. Eating, sleeping, making, defending. These are the four principles that all the living entities are doing, moving entities. They're eating. First of all, you have to eat. If you're hungry, you can't do anything else. You're not interested in anything else if you're really starving, hungry. Nothing else interests you. You can, whatever you offer, you just want a meal. That's the first thing. It's survival. The first law of nature. Anamoya platform is the lowest form of consciousness. So then you get some food. Then you're satisfied. The hole is filled up. What a relief. Now you're satisfied. There's no pain anymore. Right? But then there's... Then you're also, the body is demanding some rest. You're feeling tired. So then you want to sleep. But you need a place to sleep. You can't sleep in the field because there's so much elements from the weather, from the insects, from the wild animals. So then you need some shelter. So then you construct a shelter. So when you've got a shelter, when you've got some food, regular food, and you can take shelter and you can rest there, what comes next? Eating, sleeping, making. Your house is your defense. So this is the essential thing, those three things. You need some food, shelter, and you have to take some rest. That's all you need, actually. That's all you need. But that's just survival. But we actually want to enjoy it. Right? So when you've got those things, when you've got those, there's no danger anymore, you're feeling okay, then the next thing, now let's go out and enjoy. And so the enjoyment culminates in sex life. So there's a whole gamut, you run that all the way up to that extent. So much, so many varieties of enjoyment you can think. So that's what everyone is doing. That's what everyone's doing. Especially if you become a little affluent, like Bangalore, everyone's, well, not money, you still see the busties are there. They go, because there's always that class of people which will be like them. The Srila Prabhupada noted once I went to, he said he was giving a lecture in Bombay. He said, I also came to Bombay 20 years ago when he was a businessman. He said, and I saw people laying on the street. He said, but in spite of so much material advancement over all these years, people are still laying on the street. Why is that? He said, they're born to lay on the street. Because that's their karma. Their karma's like that. So no matter how you try to uplift the people, economic development, there'll always be a class of people who are going to live on the street, somewhere or other. Right? It's their karma. If you take those people, just like they did somewhere, take all the buses and build them an apartment, put them in, what happens? I think it was in anyway, one city. Could have been in Calcutta. What happened? They screwed the doors off and sold them. They screwed the windows off and sold anything they could take out of the apartment. They sold that. Then they rented the space to someone else, and they were living outside cooking under a tarpaulin. You can't. You're trying to uplift them, but they're so destined. Just like in America, you see some areas are run down. There's a lot of Negroes living in that area. So that's not considered a very good area. So then they're trying to integrate. You will take some and put them in the other areas, and you can uplift them. But it doesn't happen. They just bring the other areas down also. So you're trying to solve the problems of the material life, but the solution becomes worse than the problem. So Prabhupada gives the example of the motor car. We invent a motor car because we want to go from A to B quicker. So you rent a motor car, you get to A to B quicker. But look at the price you pay from getting there quicker. You have to cover the whole land with roads and tarmac, so many factories to dig, and so many hellish conditions to dig up the ore and big factories to make the steel and rubber factories, and so much oil that you're sucking from the earth. Then so much pollution goes back into the sky from the fuel. There's so many accidents every single day. There's so many laws, so many people get arrested, so many rules for driving the car, right? You're always fearful. When you're driving a car, you're always apprehensive, isn't it? Even if you're a passenger, generally, if you're looking out the window, there's always a little apprehension there. Something may happen. Just one moment of inattentive driving, anything can happen. But you get from A to B quicker. But look at the price you pay for it. But why do you want to get from A to B quicker? Because you're not satisfied in A. You think, I'll get more satisfaction if I can get to B. Quicker, I can get it quicker. But the thing is that if you're satisfied in A, then you don't have to go to B. So if you find the happiness within, then there's no need to. You can live very nicely. Because all you need is a house and some food, and that's quite easy to get. You don't need all these other accessories if you're satisfied within. So Krishna consciousness will give you that. So it'll solve all the economic problems. You won't need an IIT. Right? Where's the department in IIT which is distinguishing, which is teaching the difference between the soul and the body? Huh? They have one?
No.
Oh, it's technology. They have another university which distinguishes the soul from the body. So that's real intelligence. That is knowledge. That is knowledge. To distinguish spirit from matter. So if you don't have that knowledge, then you're going to identify yourself as matter. And that's the whole problem. And then we're trying to find happiness for this material body, which is dead matter. What is dead matter? So in the Upanishad, it said it's like keeping a bird in a cage. You have a nice golden cage, it's the body. And the bird is inside, and you're polishing that cage very nicely. The cage is shiny, but you neglect to feed the bird. So what happens? What's the use? The poor bird suffers. Nice. And so the same way, if we just go on one track, material track, then it doesn't. We won't never solve the problem. We'll never be satisfied. There's no material solution to the material problems. You can take. Don't take my word for it. but you can take your the word of the Vedas. There's no material solution. Material world means problem. Because what happens as soon as you're born, you start to die. But in between there's a little growth and a little life and a little reproduction. But everything is growing, coming up, and then again back to the earth. So that's a result of taking birth. The end of the line is death. Nothing else is certain. Only that is certain in life. So Krishna says this place is the Matriloka, Dukkalaya. It's a place of suffering actually. But in the meantime, before you die, you can squeeze a little, think there's a little happiness there. But who is actually happy? Huh? The body is dead matter. But it's that sensation, when the senses come into the objects of the senses according to your body, then you think this is nice. And if you've got another body, you think that's horrible. What the piggy eats in the street, we think is disgusting. But for the pig, that's nectar. It's nectar. Yes. You know the story of Indra, who got cursed as a pig? There's a story. Then Lord Brahma comes, he was cursed and he took birth as a pig. So Lord Brahma said, we need him back, he's a king. You know, we shouldn't do this, he's a big personality, he shouldn't have this kind of treatment, just like you, when you lock your chief minister in jail. It's not very nice, they go and get him out in a couple of days. So Brahma, Lord Brahma goes and says, Indra, come back. And he says, you want to take me away from this nice environment? So many lovely things around to eat. And now my big fat piggy wife. She's so beautiful, this stuff. Now my little piggy children, they're running around happy. No, no, leave me alone, I'm satisfied. Brahma says, no, but actually you're injured, you're the king of heaven. No, what's wrong with this? It's nice. It's nice. It's very beautiful. So it's just relative to your particular body that there's something nice. The Brahma says, you have to come back. He refused to come back. So then Brahma killed his wife. But she's gone. And he's shocked, he's crying. My poor, my dear wife. Anyway, I can get another one. After some time. Time cures everything. Then, he'll imagine, anyway, I've still got my little children. So then Brahma, he makes all the children disappear. Then he's very unhappy. Oh, you lost. Anyway, there's still plenty of nice food around there. So then Brahma has to kill them, has to drag him out of that pig body. And then comes Indra, and then he says, look. And Indra says, I was enjoying that. I didn't want to leave that position.
Really?
Brahma says, yes. How can I do that? So according to the body, you know, you get a particular body and a particular set of senses according to your karma, according to your desires. And you're trying to live happily like that. So, there's 14 planetary systems, from Swanda down to this planet, the 7, and everyone thinks they're enjoying nicely. But what is it? The enjoyment's only relative according to your body. So you don't need all these extra things to be satisfied. You need some food and shelter, that's all. That's all. So one should simplify one's life as much as possible. Because we don't say give everything, because you can use everything in Krishna's service. It's not that you have to be like a beggar or a sannyasi or an avatar, no. Krishna says, I imparted this knowledge to Vibhishan, he imparted it to Ikshvaku, and this way the saintly kings receive this knowledge. Now kings don't live very poorly, kings live very lavishly, but they also have this knowledge, because it's the king's duty, as representative of the Supreme Lord, to impart to the citizens, to make sure that everyone is following duty. That is the king's job. But they don't live simply, they live very openly. So according to your nature, you can live. That's okay. There's no problem like that. You don't have to give anything up. Carry on. If you're living very, have a lot of facility for enjoyment, and everyone's looking up at you, it's only because of your previous pious activities. You got the facility to enjoy. That's all. So then you don't give it up. You can't give it up anyway. This is your karma. You're still going to get that enjoyment. But now we're thinking that enjoyment is coming through the new karma, the video, and the new sari. But enjoyment is actually coming from your punya, previous pious activities. So this is when we try for these things and we know that we can't hold them. Huh? How long does that meal last? We feel so satisfied. 4 hours, 6 hours? Then it's gone. Then we want more. How long does your new dress and sari last? 4 months, 6 months? Then you want another one. So nothing's temporary. You can't keep anything. Huh? You can't drive the same car. You've got to have a new one, otherwise you'll be nobody. But anyway, everything is gradually deteriorating. The body is deteriorating also. So you can't even keep the body. Even if you manage somehow or other to be very happy, eventually you have to leave this behind. You have to give it all back again. So therefore there's actual dissatisfaction. Because our natural state is eternal happiness. But we were looking in the wrong place. So Vasudeva, although he understood so much, he failed to describe the perfection of he didn't describe about the qualities, activities and the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now what's so special about that? Why does Krishna come here? Many reasons. Krishna appears, the avatars come here. But the main reason is simply to take our minds off of this mundane material life and be attached to that pastime. That's why he performs wonderful pastimes, attractive pastimes, really interesting pastimes. Simply to take our mind off. We're projecting our energy on matter. As soon as we project our energy on the past, that's spiritual. Some purification is there. So that's the main reason he comes, simply to attract us back. That's his love for us. He simply comes and performs wonderful pastimes here, simply for our benefit. He has no need to come here. And even he comes here, he still doesn't leave the spiritual world. Huh? How can you understand this?
Oh, there is a disturbance of one car, 8124, the house.
Car number 8124.
Brown car.
Brown car. Has to be immediately removed. Brown car 8124. Yeah? Your happiness is the cause of your problem. somebody else. That's the problem. Everyone wants to be the enjoyer. Everyone wants to be the top man. And nobody says all this happiness is relative. It's just like in your factory, if you're the wherever you are. But anyway, the worker, he's thinking, if only I was a foreman, I'd get a bigger salary, I wouldn't have to work such a dirty job, I'd just walk around and tell the other people what to do, I'd be happy. And the manager, and then the foreman, he's thinking, if only I was a manager, I'd have a separate office, I'd be away from all this, I wouldn't have all this hands-on stuff, I'd be happy to get a bigger salary. The manager's thinking, oh, if only I was the director, yeah, I could live much better life than this sitting in the office. And the director's thinking, if only I was the chairman, he never comes here hardly, he just enjoys, I'm doing all the work and he's getting the profit. Then the director's banging his head that people are stealing, the taxman's taking his money and there's so much competition and he's not satisfied either. And then he gets home, his wife. So nobody's really satisfied. It's only relative according to your position. But as soon as you get to that position, you'll find there's someone better. Well, we don't want that. We want to be on top because we want to be like the Lord. We want to be the best. So how can you have peace and harmony in a place like this? Not possible. So therefore, the mentality has to change. The social system, political system, it can stay as it is. Doesn't matter. It's not going to help anyone. But you can leave it as it is. Okay. Whatever your government is, you can. But the consciousness must change. That I am the servant of God. Everything is God's property, and I am His servant. And what I have, according to my activities, what is in my possession, I use it in His service. Not that you give anything out. You use whatever you've got, but you use it for the Lord. Recognize whose property it is. Recognize who you are. I'm His servant. They are in charge of this property. I've been allotted this much property, this much family. I use it in Krishna's service. Then that's perfection of material life. And it actually, that's spiritual life. So that is a process. So Krishna's come to, along with his pastimes, he's also given instruction. So not only he comes as in person, every and the avatars, also he appears as a deity form. Now the deity, we may think that the deity is made of stone or wood or metal, but actually it's not. As we advance more, we'll actually see that it is directly Krishna, Nandanandan, it is not brass, not a stone. But that takes some realization. So sometimes the deity acts for our benefit, so we can understand that it's not different from Krishna. There's a story in some famous deities in West Bengal, a place called Kalna. I was asked about to speak about some deity pastimes in Mayapur, where we're staying. Sometimes this gives people some faith in the Lord. So there's some famous deities there, Gauri time. And there was one great devotee, Gauridas Pandit. You can read the story in Chaitanya Chaitamrita. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they came to visit him the next day. They stayed with him for some time. And when they wanted to go, he was such a devotee, he fell at their feet crying, "Please Lord, don't leave, stay some time more, stay some time more, stay a few days more." So they stayed. Every time he wanted to leave, he would beg. And Krishna says, "As you surrender unto me, I'll reward you accordingly." So he was completely surrendered to Krishna, so Krishna had to, he couldn't go. So Krishna was, they were a bit stuck. Gauranga is an incarnate, is not different from Krishna, appearing in Kali Yuga 500 years ago. And Nityananda is Balaram. So then Lord Chaitanya had some deities made, large deities of himself and Nityananda. He said, "Look, you worship these deities, actually they're not different from us." So he said, "They're very nice, thank you very much." So they put the deities there and they made an altar. So then Gauranitai said, "Okay, we'll go with Taika, I'll leave now." And then they walked off and Gauridas was saying, "My lord, actually he didn't know what to do, which way to go." So then finally he was just going leaving out the gate, and he ran and caught there. "No, I want you to please stay. He said, "Try to understand that deity form is not different. You can worship us in a deity." No, I want you. He said, "You sure you want us or the deities?" He said, "No, I want you to stay." So I said, "Okay." They went and stood on the altar, and the deities walked out. Gauridas was amazed again, and he went running after the deities. "Hey!" And he couldn't. He said, "What's going on? Please, don't go. He said, "So Lord Chaitanya said, will you ask us? We fulfill your desire." No, actually, I want you to say. So they came back, and then the deities walked out again. It's happened so many times. In the end, he couldn't remember which one was original or not. So then he came to his senses. There's no difference. That's very special mercy. But sometimes you see now, we have a deity of Nrisimhadeva in Mayapur, and he's appeared in people's rooms. Two people have witnessed that. It was one of the devotees, he was the pujari, when we first got the deity, we were all just scared to worship the deity. It's a very ferocious form of Nrisimha, standing in the Nrisimha, very angry. He's just come out of the pillar. You know the story of Nrisimhadeva, he's very famous here. So he's just come out of the pillar. He can't tolerate the atrocities that have caused to his pure devotee for life. But he's tolerated so much, but this is the final straw. He just can't stand anymore. He come from that pillar, and he's just looking for Hiranyakashipu, where that mask got written upon. That's his whole mood, shaken with anger. So when we had that deity made, the Sthapati actually refused to make it. He said, "You can't worship a deity like this. When you go before the deity, you generally ask for something, right? Spiritual or material. You generally ask for some blessings or something." He said, "But this deity, he's not in the mood of reciprocation. He's just looking for Hiranyakashipu." When someone's really angry, even if it's your wife, you don't go near, right? Even if someone's really angry, then you just avoid them. Wait till they cool down. Yeah? And then you can go when they're pacified. He said, "You take another form. Even when he's killing you, Hiranyakashipu, it's okay. But not this one. He's just shaking. His only intent, his only thing is looking, where is that rascal?" So, but when they found out it was for Mayapur, then he changed his mind. So his guru told that Sabati that if it's for all the deed is in the dham, that dham is, means the place where the Lord actually makes his appearance. He said all the deities, they take on the same mood as the presiding deity of the dham. So in Mayapur dham, the presiding deity is Lord Chaitanya. And his mood is? Mercy. Adhorya, giving. And giving. So when he understood it was for here, Mayapur Navadev, then he said, okay, you can make that deity. Because if the last deity was made like this, he said the whole village was destroyed. So he wouldn't make it. In this case, because it's for Mayapur, he'll make. Anyway, when they brought back, then they said, who's going to worship the deity? And all the pujaris are going, so there was, they tried to get me, and they were pushing me forward, and they said, you'll worship? I said, I'm going to worship. They said, why not? I said, I'm too scared. And then they kind of cornered me. They selected me out of the other group, three pujaris. And he said, well, the person said, well, you're not following the regulatory principles? I said, yes, of course. Then you're not doing that. Your job. But the one of the pujaris, he was always scared. I mean, for a long time, he was really scared. Then one night, he put the deity to rest. He went out. He's leaving. He said, I'm leaving the deity room. He said, I heard such a sound. He said, all my hair stood on end. I just couldn't describe that sound. But I looked around, and everything seemed to be in order. He said, so I quickly went out and knocked the door, paid my dandavats and offered a lot of prayers and asked for forgiveness if I offended the Lord. That night, end of the night, he's sleeping, he's walking out, his bed's moving like this. He's on a bunk bed. Huh? Another pujari is down below the bunk bed. So another pujari is down below, he's on top, and he thinks the other pujari is getting up from Mangalaki. He's in bed moving. He opens his eyes and he sees Nrisimhadev sitting on the end of the bed. Then he went panic. He was really frightened. And he tried to get up. And then he said, Nrisimhadev put his hands on his shoulders. Like this. Kept him down. He said it felt like the weight of the universe. So he was going, his mind was going all over. He didn't know what to do. He was really scared. Then Nrisimhadev was smiling. And he said, be calm. He said, don't worry. Be peaceful. He said, I've just come to tell you, when you did my puja, you don't, no need to fear me. Give up that fear. And when you wake me up also from Mangalaki, don't put that spotlight in my eyes. He still has two little marks on his shoulders. This is a long time. But they're gradually going. He says, still two little marks on him. And also one other sannyasi from another temple, he came and told us he saw the same thing on Nrisimha Chaturdasi. He's staying up all night, worshipping Nrisimhadev. They also have Nrisimhadev. And he's staying up all night fasting. Then in the middle of the night, he said, your deity came. This Nrisimhadev, he said, with a red dress. He came and he smiled at me. He was sitting there. And I told my guru, he said, you're very fortunate to go to the temple for some pujas. Also, he cured somebody's eyes. He spoke to one girl who had an eye problem since she was a mother. She had an eye problem since she was a little girl and she was praying to Nrisimhadev. Please, it's time to time, it used to give a lot of trouble. And please, can you help me because it's in the very of my service to you. And she said, then the deity spoke to her. Nrisimhadev spoke to her. And he said, first of all, I want my old eyes back. If he actually changed his eyes, and somebody gave a donation of new, this tiger light, stone, natural stone eyes. And we put them in, they've been in some months. And then she was startled. This, I must be hallucinating. And then he said, then he said, I want, you first get my eyes back, then I'll give you yours. I asked her, how did he speak to you? She said, the same way he speaks to you. I said, I speak to him every day, he never speaks to me though. So then she was stunned, she thought, how do I know about getting your eyes back? He said, you go to the pujari, tell him to put my old eyes back. So she went and told the head vijayan, told me. And that night also, middle of the night, she was woken up by that same voice that you tell the vijayan, tell him to put my old eyes back. So next morning she told me all these things. And then I checked her out. Is she an emotional person, sentimental like that? She's a teacher, isn't she? She's perfectly... I believe her. And so next morning he changed them. Then that time, Darshan Adi, when they opened, then she wasn't there. She was, her daughter came and saw, she was running home, running home. And she never got his eye back. At that time also, a problem left. And I was telling that story to another magazine, and she said, I live in the same apartment. She said, that night, when the Srinidev spoke to her, she said, there's so much energy in the house, nobody could sleep. Everyone was wide awake all night. So it's kind of a confirmation. another time when Gopurnima, one night he came and told us about, she had a long dream of the Srinidev. He was just like my father, he was holding my hand, we were walking through the fields. She said, but I can't remember what he said. It was a long dream, but he said so many things, but I can't seem to remember anything. Except one thing, I asked him, how can we serve you? And he said, you can offer me some mangoes. So she came, can we get some mangoes? It's out of season, it was March. But anyway, somehow or other, there was some in the market, we offered. After a few days, this was a year, you know, Holiness Gorgo Vindamaj is one of our gurus. So you can see he's from Bhubaneswar. He had a heart attack, or he left his body that time during the festival. He was talking about Krishna Balaram, and he's from Orissa, he's a great devotee of Lord Jagannath. But he was telling the pastime to Krishna Balaram when he left his body at that time. And so then after a couple of days, that manager came back. She said, actually, I only told you half the story. Jagannath said, told me something else. He said, but I told my guru, he told me not to study. But now this has happened, I'm telling you. She said, look, Lord Nishigata told me that my pujari is very dear to me. I think I'll take him back with me. He said, no, don't do that. We want him to stay here. He said, no, I think I want him to come back. And she said, no, please, we want him here. Don't take him away. So this is going on a long time. It's changed. Then he said, okay, then I'll take one of the gurus instead. Bhagavan Maharaj ki jai. Bhakti Gaurav ki jai. That is why I still here. There are many pujaris. I don't know. I was telling the story to another devotee, and he said, he's from America, Gujarati, living in America. His wife's in the Srinidev Bhakti also, she worships in a picture of Anna Srinidev. He said, that's amazing. He said that because my wife dreamt of Srinidev last night. It came in a dream about mangoes also. He said, because yesterday she was outside on the street and she saw some mango pickles, mango achar. And she thought I'd buy them for Srinidev. But then she was considering maybe there's some maybe onions or something improper in them I couldn't offer. But then she didn't buy them. He said, but last night Lord Srinidev came to her dream and he spoke to her and he said, where are my mango pickles? So next place he went and bought them. We have another wonderful temple there of Lord Jagannath, like you have here. This is a very ancient, 500 years old. It's in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri, he lived there for 18 years of his life, then all the Gaudiyas, all the devotees from Bengal, they used to walk there during the 4 months of the rainy season, they used to spend in Puri. Then they'd attend Rathyatra, see Jagannath, see Ganga Mahaprabhu, and then after the rainy season they would come back. So one of the devotees became blind, and they couldn't take him. That there's no roads at that time, no train. There's only footpath. So they refused to take him. He was so upset when they left. He decided to take his own life. And he said, tomorrow when I take my bath in the Ganga, I will not come back. But in that night, the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, don't give up your life. He said, actually, you don't even have to go to Puri. He said, because I eternally reside in this place. This place is not different from Purushottam Ketra. This is one of the islands of Navadvip, called Simantadvip. It's actually it's identical with Jagannath Puri. He says, I eternally reside here. Sometimes I'm manifest, sometimes I'm unmanifest. He said, but now I wish to reveal my pastimes again. So tomorrow when you take your bath, a log will touch you and your sight will be restored. He said, now you take that log, that Dharubhama. Take that log to this village, this carpenter, and tell him to carve my form of Jagannath. So exactly that thing happened in the morning. So he was ecstatic, this person, he got his sight back and he told all the villagers that this is the apparition I had. They took him to the village and he told this carpenter should carve. Carpenter had leprosy. He refused to carve the deity. Absolutely refused. This Jagannath wants you to do it. But still he refused. I cannot carve a deity. I'm too contaminated. So they called other carpenters, but nobody could. As soon as they hit the chisel would break. Try again, the hammer would break. Whatever happened, they couldn't do it. Then they realized, no, we have to do this. This is the Lord's ordained this. So that devotee, he carved the thing, carpenter. While he was carving, then his leprosy was going. By the time he finished the deity, all his leprosy had also left. So those are the same deities are still there. And although from time to time the worship was completely stopped, the temple was covered with jungle, the deities were covered in a termite's nest, still the deities were intact. You know, termites, they eat anything combustible within about 20 feet. They were buried in a termite's nest at one time, but still there was unharmed. Madame said. So there's also there's a lot of, they have revealing a lot of pastimes to induce the devotees. They will often speak to devotees, and generally the deity, they appear in dreams. Generally it's like that, but you should take that dream as reality. Prabhupada said, when you dream of Krishna, that's a fact. Because Krishna is absolute, God is absolute. There's no difference between God, there's no difference between God and His name. We can't understand this within three dimensions. But God is absolute, so His name is also absolute. His paraphernalia is also absolute, His body is absolute, and the spiritual world is also absolute. So then a dream is also absolute. So deity form, authorized deity form is also absolute. But according to your realization, then you'll understand, that much you'll understand. If you think that you're made of flesh, bones and blood, earth, water, fire and air, then you'll think that deity is made of wood. If you understand that you're actually spiritual, the Atma, then you'll see that this is Dharu. This is actually spiritual, according to your level of realization. So that's not, that's how generally the Lord appears. He gives revelations through dreams. And so we can accept that as reality. It's like when Krishna lives, Vrindavan, they all become mad. There's a nice, by one of our shows, written a nice commentary. It's from Puri, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing before Lord Jagannath during the Rathyatra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes in the mood, he's Krishna himself, but he's in the mood of a devotee. And that devotee is? Jai Sri Radhe. So he's in the mood of Radharani, because she's the greatest devotee. And he's talking to Lord Jagannath on the car. Nobody can understand, they think he's dancing and he's talking. And everyone thinks he's like a dramatic actor. Only a few people can understand what's actually going on. But he's Radharani, and Jagannath is Krishna. And this is Krishna and Dwarka. The Radhyatra means they went to Kuruketra. There was a solar eclipse. So everyone went to Kuruketra, it's a very holy place. And there the residents of Vrindavan again met Krishna. And but this time it's different Krishna. He's Dwarkadesh, he's a big king, he's got so many wives, princes, and the gopis, they get Krishna in a secluded place. And Radharani is praying, seeing Krishna. This is, you're the same Krishna and the same Radharani. This is the same moonlit night in Chaitanya. The same breeze is coming from the Kadamba flowers. But this is not the banks of the Jamuna. This is not Vrindavan. I want the Krishna in Vrindavan. The place is wrong. Although we're the same people, it's a different mode. I want you back in Vrindavan. You put down those weapons and those offences, and you put on teacup feather and ganja mala and Vajanti mala. You come there. So a very nice realization, or by one of our charities is actually saying this conversation is going on, and this is obviously revelation because no one could hear or understand what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying. So then Krishna is joking and he's saying, why we should have been down when we're here, well, let's enjoy now. And she said, no, it's a wrong mood here. It's not like Vrindavan, let's go back there. So he said, it's not different. I'm the same person, so we can have those past friendships. But anyway, this is a little esoteric. I don't want to say this story. but in any case, the whole thing is that they want to take Krishna in Vrindavan. And so then Radharani says, anyway, forget about me, because I'm here. But you know, but the other residents, your mother and father in Vrindavan, you know, they're crying, they're constantly crying. Mother saw they didn't eat for 1 year. When Krishna sent Uddhava there, because Uddhava was a little proud of being the greatest devotee. He's the best devotee in the world. So Krishna wanted him to see the exalted devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. So he sent him with a message that I'm coming very soon, I just have a few more demons to kill and I'll be right back. So Uddhava went. And Uddhava just looked like Krishna. He was the same age, he had almost the same features, everything was very much the same. And he thought, Krishna's coming, they all became enlightened. When Krishna entered into Vrindavan, then he saw everyone was singing and dancing, the ladies were churning the milk, and the bangles were jingling, and they were all singing and glorifying about, talking about Krishna. Everyone was happy. Then suddenly the whole mood changed. Then he saw everyone was like standing like statues. Nanda Baba was just walking around talking to himself like a madman. He noticed there were spider webs over the fireplaces, they're not even cooking. He understood that they're simply staying alive because they're remembering Krishna. They stopped all activity. The cows weren't just standing there. the babies weren't taking milk. So then Uddhava saw this intense love for Krishna, that they, when Krishna left, it was like their life was leaving. They had no reason to live anymore. Just like when Yudhisthira understood Krishna left the planet, it's in this canto, then although Yudhisthira had such a loving relationship with his family members, the other Pandavas and everyone, as soon as he heard Krishna had left the planet, he took off his royal insignia and he started to walk north. He didn't even say goodbye to his brothers. He didn't even say goodbye to his wife. That's the kind of love that, you know, and in Vrindavan it's even more intense. So they actually love Krishna more than their own life. And that is exemplified by Radharani, because she's the greatest devotee. So, but anyway, then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say, I can tolerate it that you don't come, but what about your mother? What about your father? What about your friends? And you know what state they're in? They're almost dying. Then Krishna began to cry. Jagannath becomes stunned. Then he realized, but he said, actually, I'm coming back. He said, actually, I come back every night. And then in the morning, I quickly come back to Dwarka. He said, but you think it's imagination. When I'm coming back and doing anything, he says, you're so mad in your separation from me, But you think you're just imagining these things, but actually it's a reality. I'm coming back, and we have in past times. Then in the morning I come back. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told his mother, because when he took sannyas, his mother became like, also Mother Yasoda, she also became mad in separation. Because sannyas is not supposed to see his mother. He's not supposed to go back to his house. So then Lord said, when they said, she asked, you stay in Puri. If you take sannyas, at least stay in Puri, I can get news from you. And so then she was asking when he can come back, and she was telling the devotees, you please tell him to come back. So he said, you tell my mother actually I'm coming, because she's always cooking for me. I only eat my mother's cooking. He said, but she doesn't know. So when I come back and I take the prasad, or something happens, she thinks she's just dreaming, it's imagination. But it's not, it's a fact. He said, you can just remind her, the other day, she cooked everything for me, made the offering, I came and ate it, and I didn't leave any prasad behind, any remnants. I took everything. Then when she came back, she saw the plate was empty. And she was thinking, did I cook? I didn't. I couldn't have cooked. Then she washed everything out and cooked again and nothing. She said, remind her, you tell her this, then she'll understand I'm actually coming. There's no separation. So even in a dream, it's actually a reality. Because Krishna is absolute. So like this, this is the philosophy of you can say it's the Chintavita-vita. But in any case, this Lord Jagannath, he would speak to people, he would appear in dreams so many times. He would come, one time there was an epidemic. Many people, this was before we had the temple, a long time. There was an epidemic and many people were dying. Lord Jagannath appeared to Vijaya and told him of a cure. So in the morning he called the elders and told them, and then he quickly gathered all these ingredients except for one, which didn't grow in that area. However, later on in the day, one little boy, he has come up with his branch. And he asked, where's the pujari? His wife said, he's not here, he's out. He said, well, I was told to bring this. She said, okay, leave it there. When the pujari came back, he saw that. That's it. That's the missing herb that we want for this medicine. Where did you get it? I don't know. One little boy bought it. He's not from this village. Very charming little boy. I don't know. I've never seen him before. So they got that and they made the medicine and everyone was cured. So that's the Muslim area also. And even the Muslims have great respect for Lord Jagannath. So they know he's cured them. Sometimes he chastises them. Like one time some rickshaw drivers took some prasad. So he came, one rickshaw driver took the prasad and he took one cup for his friend. But his friend didn't take it, he was a Mohammedan, so he took it, threw it away, threw the prasad down. He didn't take this cup. Next morning, he came back to the Vijayan. Prabhupada, please give a little prasad, Jagannath prasad. So he said, you're Mohammedan, why do you want prasad? He said, I made a great offense. He said, I almost lost my life last night. He said, please, you must give me some prasad. He said, last night, he said, a very, very fearful thing happened to me while I was sleeping. He said, this one here, this white one. He was sitting on me. And he was crushing me. And he was strangling me like this. I could hardly breathe. And I was in great fear of losing my life at every moment. And he said, you rascal. He said, you dare disrespect my brother's prasad? You know you worship my brother by taking his prasad? And you threw it away? Who do you think you are? I'll kill you. And he said, this yellow one. She was laughing. And she said, yes, kill him. And he said, and this black one is also laughing. He said, no, don't kill him. Sorry, I'm very, very sorry. I made a big mistake. Please give me the prasad. They found some prasad and he was satisfied. So now they bring their new harvest crops, so they bring milk sometimes, and they have great fear of Lord Jagannath. But there was another young girl, she was showing her feet to the deity, the soles of her feet, and playing there. And the other children said, don't do this, this is a tackle. She was a Mohammedan. But then immediately she got disease on her legs, feet. And then she's walking on her knees. She's about 40 now. She used to walk around on her knees. It's a very Jagannath, a little callous also sometimes. You have to be careful. attendant. one family were living there. And quite soon after we got the temple, they had a young son, and he went to the temple, and Subhasha had a very attractive brooch. This is so. He told his mother. He came running to his mother. He was hysterical, crying. And he came to say, "What happened?" He couldn't speak after some time. He said, "I went to the temple of," and he said, "Subhasha has such a lovely brooch. So I wanted to take it. So I thought there was no one around. So I went in to take it. He said, I'm just going to take that brooch." He said, "Then Balaram, Swami loves." His mother said, "You're crazy." No, he used to have dreams. He was fighting with Lord Jagannath before, with Balaram. So when we first got the temple, then it was a very dilapidated condition. We built a new one since then. So there was no facility there. We used to cook in our tent. It's about 5 kilometers from our Maipo Chandradoi Mandir. So we cooked the rice bowl for Radha Madhava. Then we put some in a tiffin and taken a cycle and offered to Lord Jagannath. One day, when the pujari made the plate, he forgot he hadn't brought tulsi. And Krishna says, he doesn't accept offering without tulsi. So he's thinking, what to do? He has plenty of tulsi, but if I go away, somebody may come in, the door is broken. It's really dilapidated condition. He said a dog may come in and take the bhoga, or children may come in. So then he prayed to Lord Jagannath, "Please, you understand my predicament. I know that you say you don't accept without tulsi, but understanding the circumstance, please accept this." So then he made the offering, went out, chanted the gayatri. When it was time to come in for the aarti, he opened the door. In the rice, there was a branch of tulsi, this big, stuck right in the middle of the rice. And there's only one door. Jagannath Swami ki. So to keep his word, he will extend himself. If you can't do it, he will do it for you. Actually, Lord Jagannath comes because he says, one of the reasons he comes like that is to keep his promise, because his promise in the Vedas, "Although I have no hands or legs, I still accept the offerings." So you see, Jagannath has no hands and legs, but he eats 56 chapan bhog every day. So he does accept. There was one devotee who was out of station, and he was coming back to our temple, and he said he suddenly had a very strong desire, very strong urge to take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And he told the driver, "You please go to the Jagannath Mandir, it'll be very quick, it's 1 o'clock, they close at 1. But when he got there, the pujari just locked the door. So he was disappointed that he said, "I couldn't tell the pujari to open up, he already put the deities to rest." He said, "I tried to roundabout way tell him that, you know, I won't be able to get darshan till when? You know, I really want darshan. No, 4 o'clock he comes." So he was a little unhappy, but he said, "Maybe I can see him through the temple." It's a little broken down, you see. So he's trying to look in through the cracks in the door, trying to force the door open and look through. He said, "I couldn't see any, it's just too dark. Just see some little light, sparks from the jewels." And he went round, the windows were locked, couldn't see him. They were laying on the floor, trying to look underneath the door. It's unusual for me, I'm not so devotional person. He said, "It's very unusual, it's such an urge to see Lord Jagannath." He said, 20 minutes I was trying. Then I gave up. Then I walked away. I was really disappointed. As I walked away, then I heard a sound again. So I looked round and the window was swinging open. And he went running back, the sun was shining in, and Lord Jagannath, let's see about this.
Yeah.
There's a story similar to this from Purushottam. So this temple is in the middle of this orchard, mango orchard and jackfruit. There's one jackfruit tree, special tree, really nice fruit. So one day some boys were stealing the fruit. This owner saw them and he began to chase them. And they ran into the temple, Nathmandir. Then he was taken behind, and then when he came there, and the Pujari was sitting there, and he said, "Where are those two boys?" He said, "What two boys?" He said, "Two boys that I was chasing, they were stealing my jackfruit." He said, "No one came to me." He said, I just saw them, I'm just right behind them, they just passed." "No, nobody came here." He said, "Well, they did, they stole my jackfruit," and they ran away in such a hurry, he said, "He even tore his cloth on the branch, see, I've got the cloth." And he said, "Hey, let's see that, they're juggernauts." He went up there, mashed it up, and juggernaut had torn the whole piece missing. Then they found the jackfruit on the side of the temple. And that's Ali P. Another time in the beginning, we had Pujari, he was the only Pujari there at the time, at this particular time. And after he did the morning program, put the leaders to rest, he was very sick. So he told the chokidar, "I got a really high fever, I'm really wiped out, and I won't be able to get up and wake the leaders at 4 o'clock. He said, "So don't even bother to wake me, I can't do it. So we'll open later on tonight." So then he took rest, and Jagannath came in saying, "Hey, what's going on? Yeah, what, you're supposed to be our servant? I see you haven't stopped taking prasadam. You're still eating prasadam. Huh? How come you're not going to wake us up?" Then he woke up. Then he said, "But still, I was still so sick." And then he went back to sleep. As soon as he went back to sleep, "Hey, wake up, it's 4 o'clock, you have to wait a day." He said, "Choke, I told you not to wake me up." Anyway, this is too much. So obviously Jagannath wants me to have to do it now. So then he got up and he's waking the deities. He said, "Then Lord Jagannath spoke to me. He said, actually I'd like you to do my puja. That other puja is not very careful. He said, sometimes he puts pins in me. When he's dressing me, he sticks a pins in me." He says, "You lift up my chanda, you'll see." So he pulled the chanda from Jagannath's arm. He saw one spot of blood from Jagannath's arm. Another time he was dressing the deity, dressing Jagannath, he put on three or four necklaces and the necklace fell off. So he picked it up and he put it on again, and again it fell down. Picked it up and put it on again, it fell down. Picked it up and Lord Jagannath spoke to him. He said, "I don't want any more. Don't you understand? Three is enough. I don't need any more." One day this chokidar, Pralad, his name is, he's a local devotee there. He was guiding, he was doing a night shift, so he was sitting up in a tree, in a mango tree. And he said, in the middle of the night, he saw one gentleman was coming. He said he walked right underneath the tree to the Simeon pass to the temple. He said, "But he was a gentleman, you know, I was surprised, he was nice. Got silk and nice long hair and nice perfume he could smell. I wonder what such a person is doing this time of night." He went to the temple. He said, then he heard a kirtan beginning. Then the kirtan grew. It was a roaring kirtan. The lights were on, and he said there was smells of incense coming over, like ladies were ululating. It was a big roaring kirtan. He said, "I was too scared to see what happened, because actually the temple was locked up at that time. So I thought it must be some devas coming to worship the Lord Chaitanya." And one time he was sick and he hadn't been for a few days. So when he came back and he was doing his night duty and he was leaning against the wall and he was dozing off, and Lord Jagannath came in the dream, shaking him. "What's going on? You're supposed to be our guide. It's a very dangerous place. You're not coming. For 3 days you haven't come. You know it's a very dangerous place. You're neglecting us." He got like that. "I'm really sorry. So I come every night. I promise I'm never. Even if they don't pay me, I'm coming." But regards the devas in the dham is another story, not about Jagannath, but of our prime guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, who founded the Gaudiya Math. So they have a temple there, and he's one of his disciples, when Sannyasi told us one day that Bhaktisiddhanta left his temple at night, and that's a remote place, his village. So he wondered why he's going out at night, there's no light. And so he followed him, that his guru, his Bhaktisiddhanta saw him, he said, "Who is that?" So he said, "Me, Guru Maharaj." So he said, "Come." They're walking down towards, if you know, where this temple is, this is the, where his samadhi is. He's walking down towards our temple, towards the Ganges, Gan. Anyway, he said, then one Sankirtan party came. He said, "Rick, ecstatic, didn't think ecstatic, kirtan, Rick, and evening time." And he said, when they come with us, he said, then they all embraced with Bhaktisiddhanta one by one. He said they were crying, shedding tears, and falling on the ground. Then after that, then they moved, they passed on. He said, my Bhaktisiddhanta turned to me and said, this Sankirtan party came from Swetagiri. So they come to take darshan of the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And another one of his Prabhupada's godbrothers, one sannyasi told me that he was at the, this is before we had the temple, he was at the Jagannath temple, and the pujari brought in some boga, it wasn't covered. And as he walked through, something fell from the door onto the plate. He said, "Sorry, I didn't say anything." He said, "I was the only one there." And the pujari offered, he said, but then after the offering, then one old lady came out, old widow. She started to chastise him like anything, give him a sauce. "What do you think you're doing offering these things to Jagannath? You must be very careful offering these impure things. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this?" Pujari said, "What is he talking about?" The lady, there was no one there at that time. He said, "No one was there, I was the only one there." So it's very easy to be. Anyone in the dharma, you don't know who they are. They were very, very exalted personalities walking around. That you can't take birth there in the dharma unless you've done a lot of devotional service in previous life. So they're not ordinary people. Even it says that it's an offence, the dharma harad, to think that the pilgrims who come to be ordinary people, even they're only coming for picnic or something, but still it's considered an offence to consider them ordinary people. So that is the potency of the dharma, some of the stories of Lord Jagannath. But I think it's, what is the next program? 10:30 now. It's already 10:30. Do you have some other programs?